We will read from the scriptures, and the scripture reading this morning is Luke chapter 4, verse 42 through chapter 5, verse 11. And our text will be the first 11 verses of chapter 5. But we read Luke chapter 4, verse 42 through chapter 5, verse 11. And there we read the word of the God. When it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him, and stayed him that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God in other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Here ends our scripture reading. Dear congregation, this morning we will listen to the preaching of the Lord Jesus to his disciple Simon Peter. The teaching took place after he had preached to the crowd by the lake of Gennesaret. And we write above the sermon, the Lord Jesus teaches Peter. Teaching that, in the first place, uncovers. Secondly, humbles. And thirdly, comforts. The Lord Jesus teaches Peter. Teaching that uncovers, humbles, and comforts. And it came to pass. Luke, the writer of this gospel, asks our special attention for the account that follows. Before we listen to this account, we have to know what happened in the previous chapter. After the temptation of the devil in the wilderness, the Lord Jesus goes to Nazareth, where he was brought up. He went into the synagogue to preach the word. He opened the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61, which speaks about the Jubilee. He proclaimed that the Jubilee is fulfilled in him. The acceptable year of the Lord will now be fulfilled in Jesus, the Messiah, who has come to earth. The people hear Jesus preaching about the kingdom of God, and they are astonished about his doctrine. For his word came with power. They never had heard this before. They never felt this when the rabbis were preaching. Jesus went about all Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. That was the first thing Jesus did in his walking about the earth. We read it at the end of chapter 4. Jesus came to preach the word. Where was he preaching? He preached in the synagogues of Nazareth and Capernaum, as well as other cities, but he did not limit himself to the synagogue. Sometimes he chose a convenient spot in a mountain as his pulpit, or a house, or even the wilderness. In Luke chapter 5, we read that he chose the Lake of Gennesaret as his pulpit. Why that location? Because the people came to him when they saw him making his way to the lake. People came from over the mountainside to hear him. They pressed upon him. We read in verse 1, it became a crowd. Jesus stands by the lake. He sees two ships, two fishing boats. These are the boats of Simon Peter and his business partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. These men were fishermen and were washing their nets. They had been fishing the whole night, but without any catch. Jesus entered the boat of Simon and asked him to row the boat a little distance from shore. Why did Jesus choose Simon's boat? It seems for no special reason. As far as we see, nothing special is happening. It looks like that, but in fact, Jesus is doing this to give Simon private education. Once he finished preaching to the crowd, Jesus is in the boat. All the people who are gathered at the shore and at the hills are able to hear his words. What were his words? We do not know exactly. At any rate, about the kingdom of God and about the freedom of his kingdom. Jesus preached about the healing for brokenhearted, about deliverance of those who are captive in bondage to sin and guilt. The crowd heard the preaching of the Lord Jesus. Simon, who sits or stands behind Jesus, has also heard the word of his master. Maybe he has felt again the authority whereby Jesus has spoken. Simon has heard the Lord preaching many times. He knew the power of the word of God in his life. The Lord had blessed him more than once. Jesus had called him, first by his brother Andrew, who brought Simon to Jesus. The second time was also by the Sea of Galilee, when he was standing in the water, casting his nets into the sea. And then the Lord had promised him that he should become a fisher of men. And he believed the Lord Jesus. He had heard the voice of Jesus and listened to him. He obeyed him by forsaking his nets and following him. Peter knew something of the power of Jesus speaking. But did everything change in Peter's life? Yes, something changed in Peter's life. But are there not more things that have to change in his life? Does he need Jesus for everything in his life, in every area of his life? That is what Jesus is looking for in Peter's life. In the next verses, we read how Jesus gave Peter an uncovering teaching. When the Lord left speaking, he said unto Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." Peter answers the Lord in verse 5, "Master, we have toiled all the night and we have taken nothing." Peter says to Jesus, "We have worked hard all night, but we caught nothing." That is the answer of the professional to a layman. Peter is a fisherman and Jesus is a carpenter. That is how the people know Jesus, as the son of Joseph, who was also a carpenter. Who knows more about fishing? Peter or Jesus? Should Jesus tell him when and where he has to fish? The best time to fish is at night, and not in the middle of the day. And the best place to fish is not in the deep, but shallow water. Everyone knows this. Should Simon listen to Jesus? Well, he knows more about fishing. At first glance, Peter's answer is not so strange. But when we listen attentively, we notice in Peter's answer some resistance. He is a skilled fisherman. He knows what he is doing. Jesus' command is not reasonable. But after some initial resistance, the answer of Peter is one of obedience. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. There was something inside Peter why he could not be disobedient. Why does he not start arguing with Jesus? Because of the hidden working of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit persuades Peter to obey his master. Nevertheless, at thy word. That is what Peter had learned by grace. Peter has learned that in principle, to be content with the word of the Lord, to follow Jesus. But do the words of Jesus always convince Peter? Was Peter absolutely convinced in his heart that the teaching of the Lord Jesus is always the best? Nevertheless, at thy word, it was the best answer Peter could give. But it was not an answer in complete faith. No, it was a hesitant obedience. Apparently, there is something that Peter withholds. Was he afraid of the people at the lake, expecting that them to laugh at him when he let down his nets into the deep? Was he unwilling to do his work again, seeing he had worked already the whole night? Was it because it does not make much sense to clean the nets again? No, it has to do with his heart. And that is what Jesus is going to reveal to Peter. Peter went into the deep and let his nets down. Then they haul out the nets, and immediately they catch such a large number of fish that their nets break. That means the nets were beginning to break. The catch was bigger than the nets could bear. They signaled their business partners, James and John, in the other boat, to come and help them. And together they emptied the nets. They filled both of the boats so that they almost began to sink. Throughout their career, they have never caught so many fish. They had never achieved this, despite their skills. So many fish will bring a lot of money. There is abundance for the next month. But that is not the purpose of this miracle. Jesus gives here private instruction to uncover. What does Simon need to learn? He obeyed the word of the Lord. He had heard many words of the Lord about the kingdom of God, and he admitted that Jesus is the Messiah who shall save him in the areas he is weak. He believed that Jesus had all power on the earth. Peter has witnessed it. He has seen more than once the casting out of the devil. He has seen several miracles of healing the sick. He witnessed the Lord preaching the Jubilee in the synagogue of Nazareth. He has felt the power whereby the Lord cast out the unclean spirits. By that same power, Jesus rebuked the great fever of Simon's mother-in-law. Peter was witness of his master's might. But that was about the power of Jesus to people who were in need. A possessed man is in need. His mother-in-law was in need. And parent, unrepentant people are in need. All these cases, Peter had no power or might to help these people. No, they all need Jesus. But Peter had to learn that Jesus is not only necessary in the areas in which we are weak. He does not only need to bow before the Lord Jesus where he feels hopeless and weak. Peter does not only need Jesus in the area where he is ignorant. He has to learn that he needs Jesus also in the areas where he thinks he knows best. Peter was a fisherman. Jesus was a carpenter and a rabbi. He called him master. But he did not confess Jesus as the Lord who has power over all the areas of his life. But Jesus will teach Peter that he cannot even catch one fish without the power and wisdom of the Lord. The areas Peter leans on, such as his own power, skills, and intelligence, are also areas he has to surrender before Jesus and confess his inability. That is what all God's people have to learn. Maybe you need the Lord in several things because there are several things you feel you are weak. And you pray every day of the Lord will help you and encourage you. But do you need him also in the areas you feel strong? The area you think you know better? Even when we possess grace, we are inclined to need the Lord only in the area we feel our ignorance. But in the area we are able to reason, we can help ourselves. When we still argue with the Lord, also in spiritual sense, and when we will not bow before him, we actually say that we know better than him. But what will be the result? Our work, our effort will be fruitless. That's why Peter has his business partners, and his business partners have toyed all night without taking anything. There were areas in Peter's life where he did not need God's might and wisdom. But the Lord is so gracious and patient that he will uncover Peter's foolishness. Peter caught not a single fish the past night because the Lord's hand withheld the fish. Jesus makes Peter feel that he has to bow before him and fully depend on the power of Jesus, even in the area he could help himself so well. What about your life? We tend to hold everything in our hands. Our health, our study, our job, our family. Yes, even our spiritual areas, such as the knowledge of your sins, knowledge of the forgiveness of sin, our prayer, our Bible reading. Do you need Jesus for spiritual life? Or are you just religious and doing your best and seeking and looking for? It's a blessing. It's really a blessing when the Lord lets you get stuck something sometimes, to teach you that you can do nothing, nothing without his grace. He withholds with the purpose that you will need the Lord Jesus. Maybe that is the reason why it may be dark in your heart. Maybe that is a reason why things in your life are going differently. You have to bow before Him. In that way, you receive knowledge of Him, knowledge of His grace, knowledge of His justice, knowledge of His love. In that way, the Holy Spirit makes you able to serve the Lord and to bear fruit. But as a result of our indwelling sin, we are blind. We do not see that there are areas in which we refuse the reign of the Lord Jesus, because that humbles us. But you and I are naturally opposed to the Lord. We need the grace to admit every day, Lord, show me thy will and teach me to bow, because thou knowest much better than I do. In that way, you learn to give up all your knowledge, all your skills, all the things you think you know better. And the Lord, that's what we also learn, the Lord will use the things that are going on in Peter's life as an instrument in His hand, so that His spoken words will be appropriated. Peter had heard many words. He had felt the power of the words of the Lord. There were also many words that collided with his heart because of the indwelling sin, because of the residues of the high-mindedness and self-reliance. But the Lord will teach His people to bow so that their lives will bear more fruit. He desires that Peter himself is mortified, so that he will be suitable to bear fruit. That is what Jesus is doing here. Let us listen to the reaction of Simon Peter. What is he doing when he sees that two ships crowd with fish? Is he so happy with this big catch? Does he think about the money that he can earn with this catch? No, not at all. Peter understands the teaching of his Lord Jesus, and it humbles him. Our second point, the teaching that humbles. Why does this humble Peter? Well, the scales fall from his eyes. He sees his pride in thinking that he still can do something by himself. The Lord has uncovered the areas he thought he could help himself. The light of the Word of God shines into his heart and uncovers his hidden places of his heart where he reigns himself. What happens when the Word of God uncovers you? You begin to humble yourself before God. Well, that is what Peter is doing here. He falls on his knees and bow before Jesus and says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Isn't that a strange answer? Was there not a better answer? "O Lord, abide with me." Maybe you're right. And it's a blessed thing that the Lord did not really do what Peter prayed for. Peter has never prayed this again. But the meaning of this prayer is that he confessed his sin before the Lord. At once, he sees the might and the glory of his master. Jesus is more than his master. And that is what Simon says in verse 8. "O Lord, he is the Lord. He reigns over the unclean spirits, over sickness, but also over the fish in the lake. Who is a strong Lord like unto thee?" Simon feels his littleness and weakness. He feels what the centurion answered Jesus by his messengers when he heard that Jesus was coming. O Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof. Simon bows deep in dust and humbles himself before Jesus. He sees that he is a sinner. I am a sinful man, O Lord. No, it does not mean that Simon sees it for the first time. He sees it again. He sees it sharper than even before. He sees how foolish he has lived. All this time he had been under Jesus' gospel ministry with little ongoing conversion. When learning the gospel so slowly, how can he be any longer Jesus' disciple? That's what he confesses here. Peter comes to his rightful place in the confession of his own undeservedness and sinfulness. Do you also that place? Do you know that place for the first time, but also again and again? That is what the Lord will teach you by the preaching of the gospel. He will convince you of your sins. He will convince you of your pride and haughtiness. Can you confess it with Peter? I am a sinful man, O Lord. Did you confess that you have no rights at any blessing? Peter's heart is broken. He's broken. And he sees his sinfulness. How has it happened? We read in verse 8. When Peter saw it, what did he see? The great multitude of fishes swarming in both ships. He sees the great blessing. Here take place what Paul writes in Romans 2, verse 4, that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. In this way, Peter becomes convinced that he is really blessed in the way of obedience of the Lord. Obedience without reasoning any longer. Obedience without thinking you know better. Without keeping control of your life. You are not to conform with flesh and blood, says Paul. Just have enough on having and knowing the Lord Jesus and his word. So you will more and more surrender to the control of the Lord. That keeps you close to the words of God. Like the psalmist says, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. There is no blessing without obedience to the word of God. In that way, you will also learn that you receive blessing without any right, because feelings of undeservedness are always found when you are brought into close contact with God. We also see here the greatness of the Lord Jesus in his seeking love of the lost. This instruction did not come out of the blue. Jesus knew Peter. As the good shepherd, he knew his heart. He knew exactly what teaching Peter needed. How easily can God's people hear the preached word without ongoing repentance, without a broken heart? But oh, miracle of grace, Jesus gives him that teaching, that applicatory teaching. And the Lord is still the same in his grace and in his long-suffering. We hear this morning the preaching of the Lord Jesus in this respect. The Lord will uncover to you your unbelief, your hard heart. But we see in the third place the teaching that comforts. Peter lies at the feet of the Lord Jesus, overwhelmed by the majesty of the Lord. Now we listen to the answer of Jesus. Fear not. What an answer, congregation. The Lord does not discuss Peter's answer, but instead seeks to comfort. Fear not. When Peter looks upon himself, he has no hope. But the miracle of the gospel is that the Lord begins where Peter cannot go on anymore. Here we see an important lesson we should never forget. In the way of uncovering teaching, the Lord comforts. To live of the Lord comforts means that I have to confess every day who I am. I am a sinful man, O Lord. Why does the Lord comfort Peter? Because he is good. Good for sinners. He says, to this man I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. He has never rejected anyone who confess his sinfulness. He rejects the one who never feels and never confesses his sin. In reality, one can never feel too sinful or too foolish. The Lord offers comfort to those who are lowly and humble, but he does not offer comfort to those who have no knowledge of this all. Do you know this comfort? Do you believe that he alone can help you, can lead you, can save you? Have you learned in principle to obey him, clinging on these two words, fear not? Perhaps you say, I do not know anything of this. Why is that? When you do not feel the need to bow before the Lord, you are still high-minded. Maybe you do not feel like this, that you are high-minded. But the word of the Lord reveals it to you this morning. Why do you not bow before him? Give it up. If you do not know how, tell him so. His Spirit is mighty and willing to seek you. What a blessing when you possess the grace of God in your heart. Then you learn in principle to obey the Lord without any reasoning, without hesitation. Oh, you fear when you see, when you look at yourself. But isn't this grace amazing when you hear him saying, fear not? Peter receives in this way a promise. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. We have no time to look at this promise to explain it, but it is clear that there is a connection between the multitude of fishes they caught and the promise of the Lord. Thou shalt catch men. But I will finish with another miracle we read in verse 11. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. They forsook all. Even the fish they caught. What became of the fish? Were they simply left to rot? Certainly not. Jesus would never have allowed that to happen. Probably Zebedee, the father of James and John, took charge, or perhaps the hired man. The words "they forsook all" has a wider meaning than the boat and the fish. It means that Peter and the other fishermen follow Jesus. They break with the past. They follow without reasoning any longer, without reserving any areas for themselves. They follow, even when this means departing from all social obligations. Follow in obedience means belong to Jesus with the redemptive purpose he serves. He gives grace to follow him, to trust him, rather than to trust your reasoning or your wisdom. What do you learn by following Jesus? Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That means that you are even willing to bear shame for his name, because you have received the promise of God's care for this life and in the age to come, eternal life. The codfish bears in it multitude of blessings. You receive the meriting blessings of the Lord Jesus in the way of obedience. Peter and the others receive the promise that their service will be blessed richly, because Jesus makes them able to bear fruit. They will be a light in the world, because Jesus has merited all the blessings by obedience to God in the way of suffering and dying. Obedience. How do I learn that? Only by the grace of the Lord Jesus. Only by the power of his Spirit. You learn it time after time. Do you think Peter has learned his lesson now? No, you're mistaken. He needs repeated teaching many times. At one time, Peter became a stumbling block to Jesus, so that Jesus had to say, "For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man." At another time, Peter denied Jesus. And yes, after Jesus' resurrection, you know the story, he receives personal instruction again. And then he receives the same teaching to bring Peter to his proper place again. What is that place? The feeling of my weakness and unprofitableness. But exactly under that sense, the Lord will support his people. Peter had to learn that when he is sent out to catch men, he will preach the gospel in weakness, like a treasure in earthen vessels. In their own eyes, their works will always appear weak and frail. But what a blessing when you serve the Lord with this attitude, thus serving the Lord because of his work done for poor and weak sinners. They all shall sing in joyful lays and laud his ways with jubilation. Amen.